Jesus said, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for though you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. The wise and the learned stand in opposition to the childlike. Our worldly leaders today, whether they be in Congress of either party, whether they be business leaders or academics, are among the wise and the learned, and they've gone so far away from Christ that they've tried to find a wisdom apart from God. They've tried to lead us down paths that are unknown and unfamiliar to the Christian life, and they've changed the world profoundly. So you look around and you start to realize, despite our technical advances, we've declined socially. Our marriages are weaker. The fabric of society is fragmented. We find ourselves with more and more racial tensions, more and more difficulties. We have peaceful protests that burn down parts of cities. We find ourselves in a worse position than we've been in the longest time. We find ourselves in so many ways with lack of stability. Our young people may be able to play sports, but we find relatively little ambition in them. They maybe go to school and go to college, but the work ethic is diminished, perhaps almost gone together. We find many of them not marrying. In fact, we've got one of the strangest things. They say that we're pushing the level of 30% will not be married by age of 40. And that's disastrous for a culture, let alone for the individuals within it. Something is radically changing. Something is undermining us as a culture. Jordan Peterson, who is not a believer at this moment, Jordan Peterson is a natural law kind of guy. He recognizes reality, the way God made things. And he's looking around and he suggests that the three most powerful changes that happened in the last century, he says, first was the hydrogen bomb. Second was the computer chip, brought us into the digital age. And the third was the pill, the contraceptive pill. And he says, this has changed everything. It's the first time in world history that women had control over their fertility. And he says it's changed them so much it's as if they were a new species. It's changed relationships. It's changed whether there even should be a marriage, whether there should be childbearing. It's changed so many things politically. It's changed them socially. It's changed all sorts of things. Jordan Peterson will say this to us. Now, these are the very same things the Catholic Church has been saying for 100 years. We find that way back in 1931, the church gave a teaching called Casti Connubii. Again, it was a challenge to the beginnings of the contraceptive movement. 1968, Humanae Vitae, Paul VI gave us the teaching that love and life are meant to be kept together in the marital act. Love and life, that act has a meaning, which is love and life. And when you try to separate those two, when you divorce what God has put together, you harm yourself. And he said it'll weaken the bonds of love between husband and wife. It'll lead to easy divorce. It'll lead to abortion. And he says in the end, it'll lead to euthanasia. And in 1968, we were a strong people. We were full of ourselves, and we thought that'll never happen. Lord, like 60 years plus since then, and we see all of those things coming true, the weakening of the bonds of marriage, the degradation, the women have been degraded by this very thing. We find ourselves in a position now where abortion is common, we find divorce common, and euthanasia is already here. The very things the Holy Father said, this will weaken us, this will hurt us, it's more significant than we think. It's more than just a little tiny pill. It changes everything. We find Pope John Paul comes to us with Familiaris Consortio. Again, the same teaching, but in an even more familiar fashion, a more personalist fashion, 1981. And every time Pope John Paul went to a country where he stayed 4 days or more, he spent 1 day on marriage morality. We forget these things. But it was a challenge to us because we've gone after things those who are high and the mighty, those who are the learned, the wise and the learned, have proposed to us. But they've closed themselves off from the wisdom of God. They've closed themselves off. And because of that, we who follow after them end up darkened and wounded ourselves. Now, God has a plan for human flourishing. He wants us to flourish. In other words, if you think that salvation is all about not doing anything wrong or not committing a sin, that's really only part of it. He actually wants our human flourishing. And so from the very beginning, he made us in his own divine image. And just as God has the power to create, he gave us the power to create. It's part of our human flourishing. So we find that initially the man was working in the garden alone. He was creating and building and bringing order out of the chaos, but he found himself lonely and alone. Again, the external creation was not enough. So God cast the man into a deep sleep, and he drew out a rib from his side, and he built it up into the woman. She was to be his companion, his helpmate. And he cries out, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And together, they would create the most godlike thing of all, a new human life, just like their own. So in other words, it was an internal creation because of the union of husband and wife, the two becoming one flesh and bringing about a new life. That's the internal creation. And the second most intimate creation after that is to create outside of oneself. And that's where we exercise that dominion over creation, that lordship over creation. We work, we start a business, we invent, we beautify the world. And together, the internal creative power and the external creative powers makes us flourish. Again, the great saints would remind us, St. Irenaeus, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. That's our human flourishing. And so we stand at this moment when we stand between those who are quite on the opposite side, the wise and the learned, or do we learn from Jesus to be childlike? The thing about being childlike is we become teachable. Are we teachable? Do we accept that God teaching us through the church wants our good? Do we trust him that he wants our happiness, that he wants our flourishing? Or do we somehow think that the wise and the learned who have led us down this strange path for what is near destruction of all that we've built in the last 100 years, do we really think that the wise and the learned have the right answer? And I'm suggesting again that 60 years ago we might have doubted, but now there's no doubt. The way of Christ is the way. The way to be childlike, to be teachable, to be humble, to be open to God is the way. The wise and the learned, they've taken so many things and broken them apart to our harm. The love between husband and wife, the love and life that comes together in the marital union, they've separated that. They've divorced those apart by contraception, and we've been hurt by this whole process. Now, the church is going to challenge us in this area. The church teaches that what God has joined together, man must not divide. That's not just the marriage. That's the marital act, which brings together love and life. We must not separate what God has joined together. But every time we separate love from life by contraception, we wound the love. Then we go on. We arrange our life, our careers, our finances in such a way that religion and morality are barely even an afterthought. We close God out of the decisions about fertility. And all of these things become wounds upon us. Pope John Paul, in his wonderful personalist way, he says, what is love? He says, love means to give of yourself. And married love gives totally. But he says, what is the opposite of to love? The opposite of to love is not hatred. We jump to that conclusion. The opposite of to love someone is to use them. In a personalist sense, the opposite of love is to use. And it's possible that even within marriage, we might use one another and not love one another. So to love, he says, in marriage means that we give ourselves in a way that's lifelong, that's faithful, that's open to new life. And that's where love becomes mysterious and powerful and fulfilling. When we cut that out, when we separate love from life, we get this shrill note of pleasure, but not the symphony of love. We separate what God has joined together. That's a mistake, and it has lasting effects, lasting consequences. Again, we say, I love you, but we say, I love you, but don't get pregnant. Again, we've separated these things that God put together, and by the closed intention, we close ourselves off from love. Now, these are mistakes. They undermine us. Of course, they're serious sins. We need to humble ourselves and confess them, actually to undo, if possible, what we have done. Now, oftentimes, it goes beyond that. It goes to sterilization. And again, we find here that people after 2 children are often tempted, sometimes almost coerced in the hospitals, to have a tubal or a vasectomy. And these things are, again, trying to make permanent the contraceptive attitude. All of these things are mistakes, and again, very sinful. There's actually possibilities of reversal. Do you know there's one Protestant congregation that has a whole choir of children born after sterilization reversals? And it's a beautiful thing. We have parishioners right here in our own parish. We have parishioners who've had sterilization and then reversal and been blessed with wonderful children after that. And they become the joy of their life in their old age. God has blessings for us. And he uses children to be the avenue for that blessing. It's a mysterious thing, but it's part of God's plan. So again, we want to encourage people to not only not choose sterilization, but even consider reversing that. Now, I know not all couples are blessed with children. Infertility is a cross that many people bear. We want you to know that God does love you and that he has a plan for you. We have to trust him. Tragically, in our world, the wise and the learned go the other direction. The wise and the learned say, we can fix that. We'll go in vitro fertilization. And so they'll take the sperm and the eggs and mix them together in a petri dish, and they'll conceive all of these little children. They'll implant some. They'll actually destroy others by selective reduction, a fancy name for abortion. Others they'll put in suspended animation and liquid nitrogen. Already conceived, already children, and we freeze them. All of this is wrong. It's a misuse of the body. Again, it's the wise and the learned trying to lead us, and you and I have to be childlike and to be teachable, to be open to God, to know that God has a plan for us, whatever it might be. God has a plan, and when we work with him, we prosper. When we go our own way, we follow the wise and the learned, we hurt ourselves. The next step down that mysterious path is surrogacy. You probably heard about that. It's widely common. Women hiring themselves out to bear children for others. Again, this is the buying and selling of children. It's the erosion of the very right that a child has to be born of his own parents. All of that is the misuse of our sexuality. The wise and the learned will say one thing. God says something else from his church. And we have to see that that's where he's going to bless us. Now again, sins are connected, aren't they? It isn't just one sin. This one sin leads to another. Some of the wonderful TV series that you'll find out there, you always find the destruction of the person, whether you're watching Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. It starts with one little sin, and it gets to the next one and the next, and each step is worse down the path till finally it's utterly self-destructive. And that's really what those shows have shown us, and it's actually a very strong biblical truth. Well, when we decide that married love is really about me, we begin to squeeze God out of it. When we separate love from life, the selfishness can start to enter into the marriage itself. And so we ask ourselves, the very gifts that God has meant and given us to build us up, sometimes we misuse those gifts to harm one another. How do we treat each other as spouses? It's a good question. Do we really care for one another? Are we generous to one another? Do we use our own gifts to control or manipulate one another? Do we misuse our abilities by neglecting our spouse? Oh my gosh, that is common. Here's what St. Paul says to us. Let me phrase it differently. Here's what God says to us through the mouth of St. Paul. This will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. St. Paul says, "A wife does not have authority over her body, but rather the husband. Similarly, a husband does not have authority over his own body, but rather his wife. Do not deprive each other, except by mutual consent and for a time, but then return to one another so that Satan may not tempt you." This is God speaking to us about how to love one another, how to build one another up. Many times you find that there's conflicts in a marriage, and we're dealing with these second and third tier conflicts when the real conflict was on this foundational level. How do we treat one another intimately? When that erodes, all kinds of other problems surface above that, but the real root was down here. When we follow God's plan, when we're kind and generous to one another, many other problems go away. Again, I'm suggesting to you that God has a plan for us and for our happiness. Now, God's not calling us to be providentialists, to have as many children as may naturally come. You can know about your fertility. Most couples are infertile for the majority of any given cycle. We can know when the fertile time has come. We can choose to use that to achieve a pregnancy or to avoid that intimate time in order to avoid a pregnancy. We call that natural family planning or fertility awareness. And God's given us this privilege of participating in the marital act. But again, love and life need to stay together. Now, the spiritual backbone of the Christian life are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. With faith, we accept the plan of God for marriage and family. That's what we do. We may not fully understand it, but we accept it. It's God's word to us. Without faith, we reject God's plan. We do what we want. We do so to our own harm. With hope, we trust in God's promises that he will take care of us, that if we follow his way, he will provide for us. With charity, we become better people, more loving people, more other-centered people, and our life begins to flourish. Without faith, hope, and charity, we're already selfish and self-absorbed. This is why worldly people today, following the wise and the learned, have so few children that we're not even replacing ourselves. Have you recognized that? The birth rate is so low, we're not replacing ourselves. We have no one to fill jobs. We have to have immigrants. We're not even thriving ourselves. That's a problem. We say, we'll have pets instead of children. Again, it's selfishness. A farmer might say, we're eating the seed corn. Have you ever heard that term, eating the seed corn? What farmers mean by that is we eat the seed corn that we're supposed to save for next year to plant the field. We eat well right now, but we're going to starve next year because we have nothing to plant in the field. And it's another way of saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's a life without hope. And that's becoming an undertow of our modern culture. Again, the wise and the learned are very much mistaken in so many of the directions they've taken us, but it's the childlike, the teachable, those who are open to God, open to the teachings of his church. They're the ones who are going to prosper through all of this. So again, these are very significant things for us to consider. We'd like to encourage people to have a large family, a wonderful family. We'd like to have you consider to talk to your kids and grandkids about having a large family. Perhaps you're in a position where you could even assist them in making sure that that happens, that they can get into a home. Maybe you could be their banker. Maybe you could assist them in getting their kids in a Catholic education. Now, all these things are possibilities for us. But again, it takes a thought, it takes a plan. You've got to open your heart. You've got to see what God is calling you to do with the assets he's entrusted to you. Again, we want you to share God's creative work and to be generous with life. Again, Jesus says, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. We have to humble ourselves to become childlike, to become teachable, to see things as God sees them. Open your hearts. Allow God to bless you.